service. I hope where you are tuning in from, it's maybe a little warmer and a little less snowier than it is here in Peoria, but I'm not going to complain. Winter's good. I like snow. It's all good. But I was reminded this week that there are folks who attend Northwoods from all over the place and in some warmer climates. I had Rick and Joni send me a picture of where they're building their house in Ecuador, and they're living in the mountains in Ecuador and building their house, and some beautiful landscapes and other pictures that they were sending me. So it reminded me not everybody is in the deep frozen tundra like we are, but wherever you're tuning in from, let us know where you are and simply say hello in the chat or in the comments on Facebook Live. We just love to get to know your name. Well, Pastor John started our series about love one another last weekend, and he was talking about how to learn to love one another. And you can watch that message in the archives at media.northwoods.church if you missed it. And then he's teaching today to talk about how to share God's kindness with others. And it goes right along with our Your Four initiative. And if you haven't gotten your Your Four sticker yet, to write down who you're inviting to Northwoods in 2019 to attend, maybe on your couch in your living room, or attend one of our campuses, email me and I'll send you out a sticker. You can get that by emailing Jason@Northwoods.online. Well, Bree and the band are ready to get things started, so turn up those speakers and sing out, because Northwoods Online starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Northwoods. We are so excited to have you this morning. Go ahead and stand up on your feet and let's join in some worship together.
that your prayer this morning, church? Yes, God, we ask you for it. Amen. Well, hey, again, we're glad that you joined us this weekend to worship Jesus. And before we continue on, I just wanted to share a scripture with you. Came across it recently in Isaiah 43. And God is speaking to his people Israel. And he says this. He says, "Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I'm with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west." And of course, that scripture has literal meaning for Israel. That God was literally going to bring his people back from captivity into the promised land. But as I read that verse, I also couldn't help but notice that it's also a picture of what God has done for us today. He gave a man, his only son, Jesus Christ, in exchange for us. He gave his only son in exchange that we might be brought out of our spiritual captivity into freedom, into forgiveness, and into life, all because we were precious and honored in his sight because he loves us. And so, God, we thank you again today for your love. We thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for us on the cross, dying in our place. Lord, we thank you for that love today. And right now in this place, I pray for a release of the love of Jesus. Lord, that you'd open up our hearts to receive your love in a fresh way today. God, let your love drive out today all fear, all anxiety, all worry, all depression, all discouragement. Let your love flood into this place and cover us today in Jesus' name. Darkness tries to roll over my bone. When sorrow tries to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain, all I know, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, thank you for your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. For I am not a captive to the lie. And I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance. There's power that thank you for your love. Bless your name, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We remember your love. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come now. Release your presence here, God. Move among us today. Move in our lives.
Hear the word roaring as thunder, with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over. There is a cloud beginning to soar. Through the skies, heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God.
Come on, would you cry out?
We receive your rain. Yes, God. We receive your rain. Every seed.
Place today, God, that whatever we've come in with, God, whatever is on our hearts, Lord God, we lay it at your feet. Jesus, thank you that you're here, God, and that you're willing to meet every one of our needs, Lord, that we just have to ask. So, Father, we ask, Lord, come and be with us. Come and teach us something new today, Lord. God, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, isn't it so good to know that Jesus really does change everything? Amen. In our hearts and our lives. Yeah, you can clap for that. In our hearts and our lives and in our souls. And that's why we are so adamant here at Northwoods about inviting people that don't yet know Jesus so that they can too have that change that we are just saying about. Go ahead and check out this video that shows how we can make a difference through inviting others.
Inviting. It's the very first word of Northwoods' mission. That's how important it is. And it's simply being real. It's just meeting people where they are and inviting them to experience the hope that's found in Jesus. And it's really simple. It's just being contagious, being courageous, finding out what people need and offering them that hope. Inviting. It's why all of the activities and events are planned at Northwoods in the first place. It's a way for you to invite the people in your life in a way that isn't intimidating, but is inspiring. The Ministries of Northwoods allows you to make a difference in the lives of the people around you in powerful ways. You'll be able to help them in life's biggest questioning times, like finding out their purpose or significance. You'll be able to help them through life's painful experiences, like the loss of a loved one, the end of a marriage. But you'll help them be able to be a better parent, a better spouse, a better money manager. Most of all, you'll be able to help point them to the eternal hope that's found in Christ Jesus. This is what we're all about. And your generous support to the Ministries of Northwoods makes a difference.
Ushers, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to come forward. And if you don't mind praying again, we're just going to ask for God's blessing on these tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you for today, Lord, and we just ask that you take these gifts back to you. Would you multiply it for your kingdom purpose? Lord, we're going to give you all the glory for it. And God, would you bless the word on love and kindness today and help us to supernaturally do what you've called us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you saw in that video, there's so many great things around here to invite people to. Classes, events, our weekend service, things like Christmas production, and all those things are possible because you give. So just let me thank you again for being faithful to what God's doing through your local church. If you're a guest here today, so glad you chose to worship with us. I'm Tommy Briggs. I'm one of the pastors here at Northwoods. Hope you feel at home. We want you to feel welcome and enjoy the service. Right now, we're in a series called Love One Another. Jesus uttered those words, love one another, and we're digging in for several weeks to figure out what and how do we do what he's telling us to do. Next week, the sermon and the message are going to be about encouraging. How do I love others through encouragement? How can I be an encouragement to the people around me? So in preparation, I'm going to encourage you, see what I did there, to make a commitment to be here next week. And I'm going to be in church, I'm going to be learning, and I will invite, like the video suggested, invite someone to be here to learn alongside with me. So you won't regret it. It's a great investment of your time. One of the great privileges we have as Christ followers is being able to access God's presence 24/7. If I've accepted Jesus, that blood washes me clean. I can go to God in prayer anytime, day or night. If I want guidance, if I want to be thankful to him, if I'm crying out for help, he's always there. But sometimes we need a little more to break through. It's like I've been praying, but I'm still not seeing God move in my situation. Matthew 18 says to activate the power of agreement. I need other believers sometimes to agree with me for what I'm asking for. This is what Get Prayer ministry appointments are all about. Come get some other believers to listen to your concerns, sit down with you and pray with you and see mountains move in agreement. This is a great resource, great opportunity, but you have to make an appointment. So I encourage you, there's a lot of great testimonies coming out of what God's doing through this ministry, but you need to set up a time. So go to the webpage, northwoods.church/prayer. Hey, again, glad you're here. Why don't you watch this?
I'm seriously so glad that you were able to meet up.
I know, we haven't got to see each other for a while.
I know, it's been forever.
Thank you.
Do you know what you want?
I always love the vanilla bean iced lattes.
What do you want?
Probably hot chocolate.
Here you go. That's my friend Sarah. She's the sweetest. I love her. But have you ever met someone who's like two kinds? Or have you heard of the phrase, kill them with kindness?
Oh my goodness, can I get this for you? Let me carry
my
this.
My purse?
Yeah, let me give it to me. Yeah. Gosh, let me carry that for you. Oh,
seatbelts. Here, let me help you.
With my seatbelt?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that tight? So, Carly, are you excited about your interview later today?
I mean, I'm a little nervous, but I'm mostly excited.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness. You're going to do great.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, let me pull it out.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Here we go. This is my brother's. Actually, you can have it. Yeah.
Your brother's?
Yes.
You want me to wear a guy's shirt to an interview?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Bye. Good luck. You'll get it.
So, did you get it?
Nope.
Well, hey, good morning and welcome to Northwoods again this weekend. Great to have you with us. And for those of you joining us online, maybe you're watching on Facebook, great to have you tuning in. And for those of you joining us at our other campuses, always great to be with you again this weekend. Well, as you've heard, we are in part two this weekend of our Love One Another series. And in this series, we're really looking at how love is expressed towards one another. Now, I recently came across what some consider to be a legend surrounding what is considered to be one of the seven wonders of the world, the Taj Mahal. Shah Jahan, who built the Taj Mahal in 1629, was heartbroken over the death of his favorite wife. And so to commemorate her, he ordered this magnificent memorial that we know as the Taj Mahal to be built. Now, again, most of you know that. You know, we got a picture of it. Incredible, incredible building. But before the building started, the Shah placed his wife's casket in the middle of the construction site so the memorial would be built around and on top of her remains. So the building started, and several years into the construction of this thing, the Shah's grief for his wife began to turn into passion for his project. He kept making it bigger and better and grander and more expensive than anything ever imagined.
And as the legend goes, at one point during the construction, workers had to excavate portions of the land to sink the foundation. And during the process, workers reportedly stumbled over a corner of what appeared to be a box in the dirt. When the Shah found out, he was irritated that it was keeping them from continuing to work, and so he had the workers remove it and throw it out. So construction continued, the building was erected, but when it was finished, the Shah's wife's casket was nowhere to be found. Why? Because the box he had ordered the workers to throw out during construction was in fact his wife's casket. So understand, according to the legend, this Shah built this incredible building, but in the process, forgot to hang on to the very person it was meant to honor. Now, the legend may or may not be true. There are some who say that it is true. But if it's true, what's crazy is that this incident would not be the only time something like that has happened. In fact, I think I can make the case that the church has been guilty of something similar. Meaning, we can build places that were meant to honor Jesus, but over time, if we are not careful, we can lose our focus and end up forgetting to hang on to the one person they were meant to honor. In fact, I wonder if sometimes outsiders look at the American church today and don't see Jesus simply because we have tossed aside the many characteristics that Jesus said would be true of those who follow him. Things like grace, truth, love, joy, peace, patience, and specifically one we're talking about today, kindness. In his book, Love Kindness, Dr. Barry Corey, speaking of kindness, says this. He says, this powerful virtue seems to be characterizing Christians less and not more. He went on to say, Christians often bypass kindness to begin a shouting match, or we just talk amongst ourselves about how awful the other side is. And then what he said next is really what stuck with me. He said, we have lost an understanding of the power of kindness, mistakenly dismissing it as fluff or flat. We have mistakenly dismissed kindness as being fluff or flat. You know, when I read that statement, part of me had to agree because I know all too often, many times, I have been guilty of dismissing kindness as kind of just fluffy and almost weak. I mean, if we think about it, we don't usually equate kindness as being something that's going to help us get promoted at work. Kindness isn't something that's going to help us stand out amongst the competition. And kindness isn't going to help you win that oh-so-critical argument in the kitchen with your spouse. On the surface, kindness kind of appears weak. This is exactly how the famous German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche thought. In fact, he is documented as hating Christianity for encouraging kindness. Because he saw Christian love as draining strong people by making them kind and driving them to waste their energy on those who were less fortunate. So in his mind, love weakened the strong of the human race by making them kind. So there's many people who would say, hey, kindness kind of appears weak. But is that what kindness is? Is kindness really weakness? Well, to answer that, I think we have to come to a clear definition of what kindness is. And if we turn to God's word, we find that Paul, in his letter to Titus, brings some definition to kindness. Look at what he says in Titus chapter 3, verse 3. He says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasure. He said, we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. In other words, apart from Christ, this is who we were. This is who we could be apart from Jesus Christ. But then look what happened. It says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. So taken together, I think we can gather that apart from Jesus Christ, all of us are lost. If not for Jesus Christ, we had no hope. But Jesus, in incredible love, acted in kindness towards us by doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. So from this passage, I think we can gather a definition of kindness. Kindness is leveraging one's strength on behalf of another. Kindness is leveraging one's strength on behalf of another. Maybe another way of saying it would be kindness is a decision to do for someone else what they cannot do for themselves. So kindness is not weakness. In fact, I would say it requires incredible strength to be kind. For example, if we were to think about and say, hey, okay, who would we say if there was one person that we would all say fits the bill of being kind? I think we would all agree that would be Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was extremely kind. But let me ask you, does that mean that Mother Teresa was weak? I don't think so. See, it doesn't require a lot of strength, requires some finance, but it doesn't require a lot of strength to write a check to a charity that takes care of the poor, the sick, and the hurting. But it does require enormous strength to roll up your sleeves, get in the streets, and wrap your arms around the poor, the sick, and the hurting. That's no easy task. And that requires incredible strength. Kindness is strong. It's radical. It's brave. It's daring. It's fearless. It's courageous. And on top of that, it's what we are called to as followers of Christ. Paul wrote in two separate places. In Colossians chapter 3, he said this. He said, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, meaning put these things on. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, and humility, gentleness, and patience. Then, in Ephesians, he said this, be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. So, if we consider ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, kindness is not an option, but a mandate. Kindness is not an occasion, but a lifestyle. We are called to continually be growing in kindness. In fact, that word Paul used where he said be kind, really be means become kind. We're called to continually be growing in kindness. And on top of that, kindness is ultimately one of the ways we carry out Jesus' command to love one another. On Friday this week, I had a staff member stop by my office, and realizing that we are going to be talking about kindness this weekend, he looked at me and he just said, man, do you ever have those moments where you get done with a situation, you're walking away, and you go, man, you know what? I should have been a lot more kind in how I handled that. And I was like, yep, been there several times, man. Been there, done that. I have lots of times where I walk away and go, you know what? I could have been much kinder, a whole lot kinder in how I handled that. See, kindness is hard to live out all the time. Kindness on occasion, yeah, I think we can do that. Kindness, can we be kind to the people that we like and we agree? Well, yeah, I'm good with that. But kindness is hard to when we're saying, hey, do it all the time. Kindness is hard to extend to people who you don't see eye to eye with. Kindness is hard to extend to people when maybe you got something against them, or maybe they have a different political view than you do. It's hard to be kind to those people, isn't it? Kindness is a hard thing to do. But if we're going to be those who truly love one another, we have to continually be growing in kindness. So my question is, if we're called to do this, then how do we continually grow in kindness? So in answering that question, I'm going to keep it real simple this morning. And I want to walk through three ways to grow in kindness. And these are three ways that you find throughout God's world, throughout God's word. So three ways to grow in kindness. The first way we do this is flip the switch, yield to the Spirit. Flip the switch and yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting Him lead is crucial to becoming those that exemplify kindness in everything. Why? Because kindness is not something that you and I can generate all the time on our own. Look at what Paul said in another one of his letters. This is where we find the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. He says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says, this is what the Holy Spirit brings about in our lives. So understand, if we're going to grow in kindness and become those that are kind to one another, not just in some instances, but in all instances, we have to yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him lead. I like to think of it like this. It's kind of like every day we have to flip a switch where we say, I'm choosing to turn me off. Turning myself off, my desires, my fleshly, the flesh part of me, I'm turning that off. And Holy Spirit, I'm choosing to turn you on today. And I'm asking you to lead and bring about what only you can bring. You know, one of my favorite movies of all time is a Sylvester Stallone movie called Over the Top. I don't know if some of you have seen this. I get dogged all the time for having this be one of my favorite movies. I think it's an incredible movie. It's a movie about arm wrestling. Yeah, I know. You think it's funny. All right. My dad introduced my sister and I to this way back in the day. And we actually recorded it on VHS, and I used to watch this thing all the time. So in the movie, Sylvester Stallone plays the role of Lincoln Hawk, a struggling trucker who sells everything he has and uses the money to bet it all on himself at the World Arm Wrestling Championship. Sounds like a classic, doesn't it? And he bets it all on himself in hopes of not only winning back his son, who he's left behind 10 years earlier, but starting his own trucking company. So in short, it's a movie about arm wrestling. And if you're a guy, it's one of those movies that if you sit down and watch it, your beard will grow just watching the movie, all right? It's like, it's arm wrestling, it's awesome, okay? But one of Lincoln Hawk's signature moves in the movie is that every time he walks up to the arm wrestling table, he has this hat he wears. And whenever he walks up to the table, he just flips this hat backwards. And in the movie, they're kind of like interviewing him at the World Arm Wrestling Championship about his hat and why he does it. And look at his response.
What I do is I just try to take my hat and I turn it around, and it's like a switch that goes on. And when the switch goes on, I feel like another person. I feel like a truck, like a machine.
So here's Sylvester in his cut-off denim button-down shirt. It's legit. I want one of those things. Talking about flipping his hat backwards. And he says, I take my hat, I turn around, and it's like a switch that goes on. And when the switch goes on, I feel like another person. Now, listen, I know you're saying, John, really? You're going to try to take a clip from an 80s arm wrestling movie and relate it to something spiritual? Yes. I texted a guy in a church this week and said, hey, man, I'm thinking about using an over-the-top clip. What do you think? And he basically texted me back and said, don't do it. But I'm going to use it anyway. Because in a similar fashion, you and I have the ability to flip a switch and literally allow another person to take over. Who is that person? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Now, I don't know about you, but many times I find myself saying, you know what? Next time I'm going to try harder and I'm going to be kind. Next time, that's going to be me. Next time comes, get to the situation, I walk away and I say, all right, next time. Next time I'm going to try harder and I'm going to be kind. You know, I'm going to keep working on this and someday I'm going to get there. I'll be the kindest person you ever met. Someday I'm going to get there. And see, my language would lead you to believe that kindness is like somewhere out there. It's something, you know, I have to figure out how to get there. But Paul says, no. Kindness isn't out there somewhere. It's in here. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, kindness is in you. I don't care who you are. I know sometimes we can say, well, you know, kindness, that's just not my personality. I just have a hard time being kind. Listen, I don't care who you are. If you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit in you, which you do if you surrender your life to Christ, kindness is in you. So if we want to become more kind, the secret is not, hey, try harder. The secret is moment by moment learning to flip the switch and allow the Holy Spirit to take over and produce what only He can produce. So how do we flip the switch? The Bible also tells us that we're supposed to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I think it starts with every morning before we head into our day, coming before the Lord, surrendering again and inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. Fill me today, Holy Spirit. And then asking the Holy Spirit, we say, Holy Spirit, help me to stay tuned in to you throughout the day so that in every moment I'm yielding to you. So that later in the day, when you're in traffic and someone cuts you off, instead of speeding up and flipping them the bird, you flip the switch. Don't flip the bird, flip the switch. And you pause, we yield to the Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, take over and bring about what only you can in this moment. And as we learn to do that, we will find that it is as if another person literally takes over. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead, when we allow the Holy Spirit to say, hey, I'm yielding, take over, we will find that kindness will begin to spill out. So how do we grow in kindness? Flip the switch, yield to the Holy Spirit. The second way we do this is clean the closet and focus on forgiveness. Clean the closet, focus on forgiveness. So let's go back to Ephesians. I just shared that verse with you where Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another. That's verse 32. The verse right before it, immediately preceding verse 31, Paul goes through a list of things that we need to get rid of. Look at the list. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Get rid of it. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I had heard about this show on Netflix that a lot of people were watching called Tidying Up. And tidying was trending. Now, if you're not familiar with the show, the host, Marie Kondo, I think that's how you announce her name, goes to people's homes and teaches them the life-changing magic of tidying up. And she actually has a book out on how to do this. So my wife and I had heard about it and decided, look, we can check it out. Now, we only made it through about half an episode, just being honest, before we turned it off. There was something about watching people talk to their clothes that I was like, I don't know about that. Just not for me. So, you know, we turned it off. But in the half episode I did see, I saw that Marie, I saw that how she starts this starts the process. So she started in this episode, the half episode I saw, she started by having this couple go to their respective closets and take out every piece of clothing in the closet and place it in one big pile on the floor. Just think about that. Most of us, we have a pretty big pile on the floor, wouldn't we? Taking out everything in the closet, placed on the floor. Then the process went like this. She had each of them individually go through and hold up every single piece of clothing and ask themselves, does this spark joy? If it did, they kept it. If it didn't, they would thank the piece of clothing, thank you, and then get rid of it. And that's where I was like, meh. Talking about the show, I recently heard a guy say this. He said, if I went all Marie Kondo on my closet and only kept the things that spark joy, the only pieces of clothing I would be left with are boxers and V-neck t-shirts. Listen, if you're a guy and your wife tells you, hey, we're going to go Marie Kondo in your closet, just give her that line, all right? Now, at first, I had to laugh watching these people hold up their clothes and talk to them. But then I had the thought, maybe we should adopt the same process with the closet in our heart. See, if we're not careful, we can become attached to things like bitterness and anger and end up storing them in the closet of our heart. And Paul, realizing this, he goes all Marie Kondo and says, hey, clean out the closet that is your heart. Get rid, throw out everything that not only robs you of joy, but keeps you from extending kindness. Now, I look at that verse when Paul says, get rid of all these things, and I go, that's a good word, Paul. I hear that. But if you think about it, getting rid of bitterness and anger, that's not like as easy as just throwing out an old t-shirt. I'm kind of like, Paul, that's, you know, getting rid of bitterness and anger, that's kind of a hard thing to do. That's not easy. So how do I get rid of my bitterness and my anger? Paul goes on. Look at what he says. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Now, don't miss this. He says, forgiving each other. Paul says, you want to know how to get rid of your bitterness and anger? Forgive. In fact, there's a little test in there. He says, basically, if you find that you cannot be kind and compassionate towards someone, you might have a forgiveness issue. In fact, one of the ways to know that we've forgiven someone completely is if we can be kind and compassionate towards them. So Paul says, basically, you know how when it felt like your spouse disrespected you or acted towards you in an unloving way a couple days ago, and now you're kind of bitter, you're kind of angry, and you're finding it hard to be kind to her, you kind of snap at her, you know, hey, forgive. You know how there's that person at church, they're here in this service with you today. They're just sitting in a different part of the room, and you know how they said something about you and you just can't stand them? Forgive them. And then it's as if Paul anticipates some of his readers will object and say, well, Paul, forgiveness is easy in some situations. You know, if we're talking about, you know, something my spouse did, you know, I can let go of a jab from them. You know, if someone's saying something about me, I can let go of that. But, you know, if you knew, Paul, what was done to me, you would realize that forgiveness is not an option. So Paul continues, and he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. And then he says, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Paul removes all loopholes and says, forgive, because God forgave us through Jesus. In other words, he says, the forgiveness we have received is greater than the forgiveness we are being asked to give. Did you hear me? The forgiveness we have received is greater than the forgiveness we are being asked to give. Another way of saying it would be this. Stop thinking about what's been done to you and start thinking about what's been done for you. Now, I hope you don't think I'm minimizing the offense of what you have to forgive, because I'm not, and neither is Paul. I realize some of us have had horrible things done to us, and my heart breaks over some of the stories I've heard. I'm not making light of those in any way. I'm just saying that God's word shows us Not only will the debt God forgave us always be greater than what we're being asked to forgive, but also if we're going to be those who act in love and extend kindness to one another, we have to be those who clean out the closet and choose to forgive. Clean out the closet, get rid of it. Forgive. So how do we grow in kindness? We clean the closet and focus on forgiveness. But then I also strongly believe that if we're going to grow in kindness towards one another, we must change the perspective and lead with kindness. Meaning we have to change our perspective about what we think kindness can do and lead with it. You see, I found many times, and I found this to be true in my own life, many times when we see others living in sin, it's easy for us to rush to judgment. And we say things like, what are they doing? What is wrong with them? Bunch of sinners? You just need Jesus. And we think in those situations, kindness is not what's needed, because many times we think of kindness as something that only has the power to generate more random acts of kindness. So think about this. You're in the drive-thru. You're getting your morning fix, coffee. You've been waiting. You get up to the window. Person hands you your coffee, and they say, hey, the person in front of you paid for your coffee. Wow, that's awesome. And when that happens, in that moment, what do you feel compelled to do? You feel compelled to pay it forward. Or should I say backward? Regardless, in that moment, we feel compelled to extend kindness to the person behind us and pay for them. So many times we can be led to believe, and you see this on TV, I've seen it in commercials, that kindness is just something that generates more random acts of kindness. And I think that's true. I would agree with that. But I don't think that's the only thing kindness can do. You see, when someone is living in sin, I think we often don't turn to kindness because subconsciously we believe that what's needed is not something that will generate more random acts of kindness. What's needed is a hard-lined approach that will generate repentance in the heart of said person. But oh, how we forget, and I forget this too, what Paul said in Romans. He said, do you not realize that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? And if it was God's kindness that led us to repentance, then who are we to think that extending his kindness to others won't have the same effect? See, kindness has the power to change people's lives, not simply because it leads to more acts of kindness, but because ultimately true biblical kindness softens hearts and leads to repentance. And the last time I checked, when someone repents and turns to Jesus, it's a life changer. A few months ago, I stumbled across a story of how this works. Jason was a pastor in Southern California. And one day, Jason and his wife, Eileen, noticed that there were some new neighbors moving in across the street. So they went over to introduce themselves, and upon knocking on the door, they were dismissed with kind of like a wave and a shout. But after explaining that they were neighbors from across the street, just coming to say hi, this older couple who had just moved in and apologized and invited them in. So Jason and Eileen quickly learned that these neighbors had a lot of anger in their heart after having previously lived next to a group of religious fanatics. The older couple went on to explain how not only do these religious people constantly come to their door and try to convert them and turn them to God, but eventually this religious group thought that God was calling them to buy the older couple's home and turn it into a place of worship. So when the older couple refused to sell their home, these people began marching around their home, singing, praying, and claiming the property for God. And the older couple shared how not only were they terrified watching this happen because they had no idea what was going on, but also the next day they found their yard completely trampled Now, I'm the type of guy that I'm always trying to work towards. I would love to have a lawn that's like a golf course someday. So if someone trampled my lawn, that would be it, right? It'd be hard to be kind in that situation. So their whole lawn gets trampled. So eventually this couple decided to move. And this was what brought them next door to Jason and Eileen. And when they found out that Jason was a pastor, they told him in no uncertain terms that they never wanted him to speak about his faith with them. Jason responded, "I will never talk to you about my faith until you ask me." So Jason and Eileen left the conversation at that. Over the next couple of years, the two couples periodically exchanged hellos from across the street, but that was about it. But all during this time, Jason and his wife were praying for an opportunity to help their neighbors see beyond the abuse they had suffered. Several years later, an opening came. While picking up the mail one afternoon, Jason discovered that this older couple's newspaper was still laying at the end of their driveway. So he picked it up, walked to their front door, knocked, and personally handed it to them. Because again, the paper had been delivered in the morning. So he walked it up to him, and the couple shared with him that because of their deteriorating health, they were no longer able to walk out and get the paper. So Jason, noticing their need, told them, "Every morning when I walk out to get my paper, I'll pick up yours and I will drop it off at your door." And for the next 7 years, that is exactly what he did. He would pick up their paper in the morning, walk it up their driveway, and set it on the porch. Sometimes they would come to the door and he would hand it to them. And this simple act of kindness opened a huge door. He said, during those years, many times the morning paper drop-off would lead to just casual conversation, and eventually a friendship began to blossom. And then one day, Jason was completely shocked when the neighbors asked if he and Eileen would share with them what they knew about Jesus. Jason and Eileen not only led that couple to the Lord, but when the husband passed away, Jason was asked to officiate this man's funeral. And what I want you to see is this: one simple act of kindness, repeated over and over, washed away years of bitterness and anger and softened this couple's heart to the gospel. That's what kindness can do. Now, listen, I get it. There might be some who hear that and say, "Yeah, that's a great story, John, but it kind of feels like you're going a little soft." Hear me. I am not saying that kindness should ever be divorced from truth, because sometimes the kindest thing we can do for someone is to speak the truth in love. And I think we have to use discernment in knowing when those times arise. But what I am saying is that many times people's hearts are more receptive to hear the truth when we have led with kindness first. Because kindness opens the door. So, if we want to grow in kindness, it means flip the switch and yield to the Holy Spirit. It means clean out the closet and start focusing on forgiveness. But it also means let's change our perspective on how we view kindness and what we believe it has the power to do. And let's start leading with kindness. You know, as we closed last week, I spent a few moments talking about our one-year initiative here at Northwoods. And so if you weren't here with us last week, weren't able to join us, I just want to go over that again one more time. Because sometimes the most loving and sometimes the kindest thing we can do for someone is to invite them to get plugged in to our family here at Northwoods. And so we talked about our initiative for the year, and it's called the Your Four Initiative. And again, I want to explain, do we have an inviting initiative just because we say, "Hey, we want to have a bigger church and we want to see all the seats filled"? Well, I love that. I think that's awesome. But the bottom line is we want to invite people because we want people to experience complete freedom in Christ Jesus. If you're part of Northwoods, that is every single one of us. That is our mission as a church, inviting people, broken world people, to experience complete freedom in Christ Jesus. And one of the ways we do that is inviting them in to be a part of our family. And I've just found, I said this last week, the biggest strides I've ever taken in my faith have never happened on my own. They happened in the context of a community of believers. And so last week, we handed out these stickers and they say, who are your four? And we'll have these at every campus again today on your way out. You can find them out in the lobby. And what I want to encourage you is I want you to pick up one of these stickers. And I want you to take it home and stick it in a place where you know you will see it almost every day for the next year. And then begin praying about who are four people that are already in my circle of influence that I can begin praying for and extend an invite to get plugged in here with me at Northwoods. Who are those four people? Those of you watching in Princeton, in Chillicothe, in Galesburg, in Canton, who are those people in your community? Who are your four that you can extend an invite to? Who are they? We'll have stickers at every campus. You can pick them up on your way out. And again, hey, remember that when we invite people to Northwoods, when we invite people to be a part of our family, we always automatically think it's they have to come to the service with us. Again, I think we would hope they end up there. But sometimes it starts with inviting someone to be a part of your small group. It starts with inviting someone to be a part of a ministry here at Northwoods. So let's be those people. Let's extend kindness to others. And let's be those who are continually inviting others to get plugged in to our family here at Northwoods. So let's stand to our feet as we close and we'll pray. So Lord, again, we just thank you today for the love you showed us and how you acted in kindness towards us by sending your son to die for us and doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. We thank you, Jesus Christ, that you made a way for us to be with you. You made a way for us to be forgiven of our sin. And I pray that you would help us to extend that same kind of love and kindness to one another. Lord, I pray that we would not let petty things get in the way of our relationship with one another. I pray that we would not allow the enemy to drive wedges in our relationship with one another, and that we would be those who clean out the closet and say, you know what, I'm going to forgive. I pray if there's someone we need to forgive today, that you'd give us the strength to do that. And Lord, I pray that Northwoods, every campus, every person here would be known as someone who is kind. I pray that when people come up to this church, maybe for the first time, and maybe they say, you know what, I don't know if I believe everything that they believe in there, but I pray they'd be able to say, those are some of the kindest people I've ever met. I pray that would be us. Help us to extend kindness to one another, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, if you need prayer, again, you can come on down. We'll have the prayer team down front. Thanks so much for being with us. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Northwoods Online, those of you joining on Facebook, again, great to have you tuning in with us. And I want to let you know around the Your Four initiative that you can use our app. Many of you watch through the app. You can use our app, and we have the Your Four stuff on there. In fact, you can plug in, you can type in the four names of the people that you're going to begin praying for, and you can actually receive reminders to pray for them, to invite them. It's really cool. So check it out on the app. And hey, if you say, you know what, I would just like to have one of those stickers, if you will email us at info@northwoods.online, we will personally mail one of these to you. So again, thanks for tuning in. Have a great week.